Hello and welcome to Strettonville Baptist Church's reflection for this week. Throughout our series in John's Gospel, we've been looking at the question of how do we love others as Jesus loves. This is because Jesus instructs us to love, not just with a worldly understanding of love, but with his love, his supernatural, unconditional love. So let's just read in John's Gospel from chapter 31 to chapter 14, verse 7. When he was gone, that is Judas, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow it now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." So Jesus tells us to love with his love. He says to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another." Of course, the commandment for us to love is not new. God is love. As John writes in his first letter to the churches, "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." 1 John 4 verse 8. And later on he writes, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." 1 John 4:16. So God doesn't just love, but he is love himself. So following God means to love him and to love others. In Leviticus, one of the key commands that God gives the Israelites is, "You shall love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord." So we can see that a commandment to love others is not a new commandment. So why does Jesus say, "A new command I give you"? The command is new because of the way that we are told to love each other. Because Jesus carries on, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We are to love one another, not just as we love ourselves, but to love as Jesus loves us. But what difference does this make? Why is this distinction important? Nearly every religion and culture has something in it which is referred to as the Golden Rule, which is a statement which essentially says we should treat others as we ourselves would like to be treated. And also we should not treat others in the way that we wouldn't like to be treated. It's a simple rule to understand as it basically reminds us to recognise the humanity of another person, to think about what we would like if we were in their situation, and to act accordingly. Of course, it's a simple statement to understand, but much harder to implement in practice in our daily lives. But Jesus takes that old familiar command and takes it much further. Jesus' words show us that we aren't just to treat others as we'd like to be treated, but we are to treat them as Jesus would treat them, and as he does treat us. This is a mind-blowing statement, because Jesus' love for us is unending and awesome. So I want to take some time to break this down a little bit for us. Jesus' love is so big and all-consuming that it is impossible to fully understand and realise the extent of in our own lives. When something is so big and overwhelming for us, a common response is to ignore it and withdraw from it because our brains can't comprehend it. Because Jesus' love is so vast, we can be tempted to not even try to understand it and live it, and instead carry on our lives without it. Or perhaps we boil it down to a cliched acronym, WWJD, what would Jesus do, without truly stopping to think about it. So I'd like us to pause and reflect upon a little bit about what Jesus means when he said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So firstly, Jesus' love glorifies the Father and points us to him. Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. Jesus' love glorified the Father, and through his love we are able to know and have a relationship with God that without Jesus we would not be able to have. Jesus explains that his love makes a path between us and God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus' life, love, and example is a direct demonstration of the Father's love. Jesus was obeying the Father's will and pouring out his love to the people. And Jesus continues to glorify his Father and pour out his love on us. And because of this love, we can know God. We cut ourselves off from God by the way we think, speak, and behave. When we live our lives in ways that are in rebellion to God, we are turning our backs on God and cutting off the relationship. It is as if we build a massive wall between us and God. But Jesus is the door in that wall, and he provides the way back to knowing God. But still, we are so often blind to God. The passage that I read carries on as Philip asks, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. So often we look for shortcuts or our own paths to God because we want to be in control of how we relate to God. But Jesus rebukes us just as he rebuked Philip. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father, living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. So what does this mean for how we love others? Just as Jesus' love glorified God and pointed out the way to God, so our love should glorify God and point others to him. Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. By loving as Jesus loves us, other people will recognise we are his disciples and may be drawn to God through our example. How might you glorify God through your love for others this week? Secondly, Jesus' love lays down his life for us. We've talked about this quite a lot already, so what I say should be familiar, but it is important for us to keep reminding of ourselves of it. Jesus' love is so great that he voluntarily took our place and suffered our punishment on the cross so that we didn't have to. Crucifixion is arguably one of the most painful ways to die, and Jesus knowingly came to earth to take on that excruciating punishment for our sakes. And this is only the physical pain he would have encountered, but Jesus also felt the excruciating agony of being cut off from the Father, from God, while he was hanging there on the cross. If we follow Jesus, this is something that we will never have to feel because of his love. And when I stop to really think about it, the wonder of it takes my breath away, and I feel so overwhelmed with the depth of his love. This love is truly awe-inspiring, and God pours this love into us by the Holy Spirit living within us. How can we pour this love out to others? How can we live such an awesome, sacrificial love? And the only way is by calling out to God and asking him to love people through us, for the Holy Spirit to move within us and empower us. What's holding us back from loving sacrificially? We put obstacles in the way of things that we prioritize over our love for others. For example, I know I frequently prioritise my time and sometimes struggle to demonstrate sacrificial love when it comes at the cost of having time for myself. What is holding you back from loving sacrificially? Can you give it to God and ask him to let go? And thirdly, Jesus comforts others in the midst of his pain. I sometimes imagine what it would be like if I was in Jesus' situation, knowing that I would be facing an excruciating death, the pain of betrayal and abandonment by all I love. And I know that I would not be caring and comforting those who would come to abandon me. But that is exactly what Jesus does. After he has just said that he will go somewhere that they cannot follow, Jesus senses the distress the disciples feel for this announcement, and he takes time to comfort them. He tells them, "Do not let your heart be troubled." In the midst of his pain and distress, Jesus notices the pain of others and takes time to love them, to show them comfort, understanding, to be with them. Sometimes we can be caught up in our own lives, so focused on what is happening to us personally, that we do not even see the needs of others. But Jesus' love is so great that no matter what he was experiencing, he showed compassion and love to others. And I'm not trying to suggest that we need to bury our own feelings, ignore our own situations, and try and take on other people's problems instead, because that's not what Jesus does. Jesus demonstrated numerous times that he was distressed by his pain and suffering. He never tried to hide or suppress his emotions. However, he also did not wallow in them. He did not allow his own circumstances to overcome him and become the only thing he cared about or noticed. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves not to let our struggles overcome us and become the only things we see. One of my favourite Christian songs is "Just Be Held" by Casting Crowns. And one of the verses says, "If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I'll always have and I always will." When our eyes are fixated on our problems, it can be hard to even recognise God's love, let alone live in his love and love with his love. But when we keep our eyes on God and what Jesus has done for us, we can know that he loves us immeasurably more than we can imagine, and that love pours out from our lives despite the situations we might find ourselves in. When we are in difficult situations, we must not let our compassion for others be overcome by our love. By our love, everyone will know that we are Jesus's disciples. He commands us, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So let us go out and love with his love. Amen.